Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Masters Pod. Andy, since we decided to do non-football podcasts, this is maybe the pod I've been most excited about. We're here today to talk about the Masters. Are you excited?
Yeah, as excited as you can get for golf, I guess, but I think we've both kind of determined that if you had to rank all of the golf. Maybe it's such a different. The Ryder Cup is just such a different animal.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, all the tournaments that are held each and every year, just betwixt the players like that. I think this is easily number one with a bullet.
Yes, absolutely. It has a. I mean, it comes at the perfect time.
There's tradition. I mean, it's.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a tradition. Some would say it's unlike any other. Yeah, some would say it's a unique tradition. It's one of a kind. Is that it's a special tradition. But yes, I will put my hand up. I'm not an everyday handicapper of golf. I'm not an every week handicapper of golf. I play the majors religiously though, and I play the Masters. The amount I've already got outlaid here for the Masters. Has me a little shook. I'll be honest. I put way more on the table than I expected to on Tuesday, leading up to the Masters. But I love betting this tournament. I love watching it. I know you have a sweet spot for day one and two of the tournament. As far as a Thursday, Friday sports days go, but day one and two of the Masters is my sweet spot. I can tell you right now, I'm probably going to get minimal work done on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to be watching every shot of the featured group for sure. When things get slow, I'll definitely be tuning into the Amen Corner coverage and the 15-16 coverage. This is one of my favorite sports weekends of the calendar year. I would go so far as to say it's top three. Where does this rank for you, Masters weekend compared to other sports weekends?
Ooh, geez. You know, some of the big ones, you can't really classify them as a weekend. But true. I'd say Super Bowl. You got Super Bowl, Final Four, first weekend of the tournament, Kentucky Derby weekend.
And ooh, that one's a good one. Yeah.
If you can just... strictly, it's always on a weekend, kind of things like that. That's probably a solid top five.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Granted, the national championship is on a Monday, but, you know, the big semifinal. I love Saturday semifinal.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. I mean, week one of the NFL Derby season is pretty special. Week one, because you got the U.S. Open is usually it's semifinal, finals of tennis, and you got week one of the NFL, and it's just wall to wall, you know, so much excitement for the season in front of us. So that's probably top one or two. This is in my top three. I love this tournament. I love watching it. And they do such an amazing job putting together a product for the viewer. Like the fan experience as a viewer is so
sports app ever.
No, it's unbelievable. If you don't have the Masters app, go download
it. It's silly. It's 4 days.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they put so much effort into making it like such a good app, and it's not even something you can use the rest of the year.
I know. It's amazing. And on top of that, you know what? Actually, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, the product that you can get on the app or on the computer is better than the CBS broadcast. I'm sorry. Like, it's great. CBS works hard on it. Sure, they're doing great work. They got great teams announcing. They do their best to put together a product. But I love the functionality of the app where you get to jump between the different parts of the course to see what's going on. It's surprising. It's interesting. You get to see following the featured groups is really something special. Highly recommend if you have the time, if you're putting in the viewership time to watch this year's Masters, tune into the feature group on Thursday. You get to see so much more of the game than you get from a normal broadcast. You know, it's guys talking to their caddies. You get to hear what they're talking about. You know, you get to see more of the kind of the nuts and bolts of putting together shots and putting, you know, putting together a hole. You get a better feel for how the players are playing, how the course is playing, and it really helps the handicap. It really helps you find some winners, in my opinion, and it is the best. So as far as you can love a golf, as far as you can love golf as a sports event,
this go home and watch it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely right.
Sneak the phone or tablet and you're watching, you know, any choice of a bunch of good groups at any given time. It's solid. It's such a good tournament. We're not really golf bettors as far as how we are NFL or other sports. You know, it's more recreational. So, you know, obviously we talked before, we did some research, and just in reading some articles, and you're reminded of some of the things, just the ridiculous amount of, I wouldn't even say weird, but just very unique traditions that surround this, like the par three tournament and like Sergio putting together the menu tonight. We're recording this Tuesday night. I think it's tonight, the champions dinner. Yeah,
that's right, the dinner's tonight.
Yeah, like
they're having lobster.
They just have a bank.
Rice. Yeah, it made me.
Yeah, whoever won it last year, he puts the menu together, and then the par three tournament, the handing out of the vases and stuff. If you, how do you win a vase or the cups, or you win a jug? Not the jug, but.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. There was too much stuff. I took a bunch of notes.
Yeah. So what? How bad?
There's so much neat stuff.
Yeah. As far as a tradition, unlike any other, how far does your Masters viewership tradition go back? What do you remember the first Masters you watched?
Well, I mean, I'm not as old as you, so I haven't
That's
watched
good
as
point.
Many. But I have. I can remember watching him as a kid, you know, even when I was younger and geez, you know, like when I was young and we didn't even have cable yet and you weren't watching every golf tournament like you can now, you know, there was maybe there was only the big tournaments on back then, but obviously you always had the Masters on TV, especially on Sunday.
Yeah, so your first Masters was what, like Nicklaus winning in 1986? Oh, is that your first Masters? Nick Faldo going back-to-back in 91, 92? That was your first?
Yeah. Sluman draining an ace in 92. Maybe not that far. I'd say mid-90s.
Okay, cool.
You know,
cool.
A kid, I can remember. My dad liked to watch golf. It's a good way to chill out and fall asleep on the couch.
Yeah, I was way out of golf as a youth. I was not interested. I was this is for boring sport for old people, and I vividly remember Tiger Woods coming on the scene in '97. I watched a ton of that tournament. It was the first golf I've ever watched. It was the first time I was ever excited about golf, and it was exciting. It was electric seeing this guy come on the scene with the potential he had and just destroy the field. And you watched that, you know, that 97 Masters where Tiger went with 17 or 18 under and, you know, won in his first major by such a margin that they basically had to rewrite the rules of the, not rules of the game, but remake all of the courses to try to level the competition in response to how dominant he was. You know, it was really something to behold, and it was exciting. And I remember watching that and being, you know, sold on the Masters as a tournament, sold on, you know, golf as a sport, thanks to Tiger Woods in 1997. I clearly remember the years where he just dominated through the tour in the early 2000s. Very, you know, tons of memorable memorable experiences. Maybe no greater shot in all of golf than him chipping in at 16 from the sand. And what, maybe like 2005, and the ball stops on the edge of the cup, and you had the Nike logo perfectly framed, and then it dropped in. Like, it felt like
it just
fake.
Sat there.
It was so,
yeah,
that... so perfect. Unbelievable. And
I've seen that played over. I've seen that in promos and stuff already.
Yeah, man,
that shot's pretty iconic. It's almost like an era there. The, what was it, 96, 97? What was the first one, 97?
97, yeah. 97, he won his first major. It was at Augusta, yeah.
Yeah, and Steven? Then from there until...
yeah.
What was his last? Last one was like 13 years. I think it was 05, maybe his last one.
And actually,
that just felt like a different kind of era.
It did. Well, this year's Masters.
Growing up in Minnesota, we had Tommy Lehman. Like we'd watch all the big tournaments and cheer for Tom Lehman. He was our local guy. But that was, I can remember just. Even now, just like getting behind, you got behind Tiger because you just felt like it was a whole different kind of animal.
Absolutely,
like
right.
You felt like he could win every one, every time, every tournament, and it was a really, really, really fun kind of, like we said, an era.
Yeah, and it was a special run. But it,
kind of leading into this one, it's so different now. Like looking up and down the odds, how many people are. Between 10-1 and 20-1, like there's just a grip of people that could win this.
You have to guess that this is a whole generation of up and coming talent who are in the game because of Tiger Woods potentially, right? I mean, like they got involved and found a love for the sport in the time when Tiger Woods was unbeatable on tour. And you know, there's been some ups and downs and fun stuff, obviously too. Like I definitely remember Phil coming on the scene. After coming in second place at like, you know, five or six U.S. Opens, he finally won his first major at at Augusta, which was incredibly special. And he had a little rivalry with Woods going back and forth for a couple years there. He's got three titles here, he's a contender as you look at the top of the odds list this year. Tiger, incredibly, is back, which. I'm floored. If you'd kind of given me odds, will he be a top five odds at the at any major ever again in his life? This time last year, I would have unloaded my bankroll on no, and yet here we sit. He's sitting right at the top of the odds. He was the favorite at one point before
Speed kind of came on. It makes you wonder how hurt he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder, like, was he hurt all this time and finally just found the right doctor, found the right procedure? Because every time he'd come back, he'd get excited and then, oh, he looks like shit. He just, he doesn't have it. He's not hitting him straight. He looks frustrated. It's tough because it is such a deep field with so many good players playing right now, but... like he's definitely, obviously the odds are a little lighter than they should be just because of the liability that they have on him from the fall, some of the books, but
yep.
I did listen to, I can't remember. I think it was the, what's that guy? The ESPN guy, Hawks. I'm really blanking on his name. Ben Fox, one of the ESPN odds, podcast had a sportsbook manager from Vegas saying the true odds that they should be putting up for Tiger 18-20-1.
I even think that's too low. Let's put this in perspective.
Kind of stuff.
Let's put this in perspective.
The name too. You know, he said all the tours come through and they bet on Tiger.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. But yeah, I mean, like Tiger is a one is com- he's a great story. God, I hope he competes well at this tournament and continues, to make his way back onto tour so he can have some glory years. Like we've seen all the other great golfers have some glory years, have some magic in the tank when they were in their 40s. Tiger, if that could happen for Tiger, that would be outstanding, and I'm pulling for it. I'm not a Tiger fanboy by any stretch of the imagination, and I find that the odds that they posted for him are completely ridiculous. I mean, top to bottom, to win, to finish top 10, to make the cut. All of these odds are just outrageously overbet in favor of Tiger. And so I'm just, you know, I don't want to be on the other side of these necessarily, where I'm like rooting for sucky stuff to happen, but there's zero value in this. Just to put these in perspective.
Oh, and just going back to that,
well,
going
back
to what that, I can't remember which book it was, but like Jason Day, there was not, or let's just take three that are around Tiger. Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, and Bubba Watson. There were no Bubba Watson to win the Masters at 100-1 in October. Dustin Johnson wasn't 80-1 to win the Masters in December. Like there is a bit of a, there's some of the books have some serious liability issues, even if they weren't huge bets. If a guy is 10, 15, 20 to 1 and they have some outlay that is 100 or 80 to 1, like they do got to bring it down a little to try to get some of the money on the rest of the field. But I mean, I can absolutely agree with everything you said. He 25-1 is kind of in my eyes where he should be, even with the better form that he's had over the past.
That's fair.
I don't know. Well, I mean, what do you think? 30-1, or are you thinking heavier?
I would have said 30-50 range. I mean, put it in perspective. When was the last time Tiger Woods won an event on tour? It was 5 years ago. Since he won any event, he won the Bridgestone back in 2013. The last time he won a major, 10 years ago. He won the U.S. Open in 2008. The last time he won at Augusta, 13 years ago, in 2005. And we are 21 years removed from his first major win at Augusta in 1997, where he shot, the world-beating score and just erased the field. So, I mean, we're talking, it feels like it wasn't that long ago because it was such vivid memories, but it has been an eternity since Tiger has been, competing for titles on tour. Like, it has just been so long.
Yeah, to be fair, it's the injuries too. Like, you don't want to, I don't think you can say the same thing about Phil Mickelson, but he had a 5-year stretch before he won that Mexico tournament. There's a lot of guys on tour. It's tough.
I think Phil Mickelson's prices are out of whack too. But that kind of plays into, I guess, a first kind of thought about the Masters, which is, if you've won here before, you inherently have an advantage. Period. And the reason I say that is not just based on results of past winners here, but it having won implies you have an understanding of some of the nuances of the greens, which is maybe the most difficult thing to gain in terms of being, competing for a title here. Like, you literally have to be a student of the greens at the Masters and understand it extremely well how they're going to play in order to have a competitive putting game here. And if there was one skill that kind of defines winners, it's they putt well here at the Masters. If you're 3 putting, forget it. You're going home. If you're not hitting greens and regulations, you are in trouble. Like, this is the kind of tournament that strongly rewards the the guys that can scramble, the guys that can hit greens and regulation, and then the guys that are putting well. If you've won here before, you understand the greens, you understand the course, you understand how it was designed, how it's laid out, and how to pick up shots on, some of the important places to pick up shots, and gives you a chance to compete. So, anytime you look at the odds and you're like, what? Tiger's out of whack, Phil's out of whack. Well, these guys have won here multiple times. They understand this course extremely well. And in my mind, at least, it's not really worth backing them because the value's gone, and it's not really worth fading them because, they've won here before. Period. Simple as that. This is the only golf major that they play at the same course year after year.
And that is the thing. It's the same course, and you're reading up on the course, and you read this and that, and it's like, oh, you better be driving on the spot on the green. You need to be making up strokes on the greens, and I better find a guy. If you're looking for an outright, I better find a guy who can putt. But then you look at the distance of this thing. It's a really long course. So you got to have a guy that's bombing them. And then I don't know if you read that part. It may have been in an article that you shared. But then they mow all the fairways towards the tee boxes, so that the grass is facing that way. So it it stops the ball easily. So you really got to be able to bomb it. And then, I mean, there's some nasty bunkers. Not as much along the fairway as far as hazard, just some courses. But you've got to be an all-around guy. And you probably need some experience here. But then you go look at people who win it, and then I'm just more confused. Because then, like, Danny Willett wins it, or that Immelman guy. So I'm just like, maybe golf isn't for me. But I think we can find some guys that
You make a really good point about experience. There's only ever been one player who has won here in their first try. And that was Fuzzy Zeller in like 1979 or something. So it's, I could have the year wrong on that, but it's very, very difficult to, nay, impossible, to win at Augusta in your first try. I think the odds properly reflect that. Maybe the only guy with a chance to kind of do something special potentially would be Xander Schauffele, who's a first-time player here. He's playing really well this year, but you know, maybe he makes the cut. I don't think he's contending for a top 20 or something like that.
Horton Smith won it on his first try.
Well, good. That's a good point. Thank you. Was it the first or the second Masters? The very first one ever?
That was the very first Masters.
I think the guy that won.
And I don't know, maybe Masters, the second guy.
I think that was his first one too. But yeah, yes, it's extremely rare. Yeah, it's very very rare.
I want to say in doing some reading, there were like 18 guys at the first one. So.
Okay. It was like it cost like $5 to go for the whole weekend, the first one, something like that.
$5.50 with tags.
Nice time. No, with tags. That's right.
And there is a pretty heavy list of guys who've won it at least two times.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can go back to, and granted, you start talking Nicholas Palmer, Woods, Sam Snead, Gary Player, Faldo Mickelson, I mean, Hogan, Watson. I mean, these are powerhouse names. Obviously, they were very good. They won a ton of other tournaments. They're going to do well. It's just how that works. But, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have won two or three of these that maybe, and some of them go way back. But, I mean, Ben Crenshaw, Watson, Langer, Ballesteros, Oseve. I mean, it does – experience probably does play a big part in this.
Yeah, I think that all kind of makes for a pretty tight story, to be honest. And I think it all comes down to understanding how the greens play, really, and how they, you know, how, because these are very difficult greens. They're fast. They are undulating, and you have to be, you know, you have to be a particularly skilled putter, or you have to get goddamn lucky, like you know, like Trevor Immelman and Danny Willett. Let's talk about a couple other things, though, that I kind of have on my checklist.
Or super unlucky, like Spieth.
Or super, yeah, right. Yeah. And actually, that plays right into my next point, actually. So, you know, from memory, like, the keys to playing the course are avoiding trouble on 11 and 12 and scoring on 13 and 15. That's kind of my, in the back of my head, like, you know, as you're watching the tournament play out, like, that's where you're going to see, you know, things, the title is won and lost on those four holes generally, and also potentially on 16 on Sunday because of where they put the hole location. They make 16 a pretty aggressive scoring hole. So 11, 12, and 13, if you're new to golf, if you're new to the Masters, 11, 12, and 13 is amen corner. 11 is an extremely tough hole. It's a very, very, very long par 4. The approach shot takes you over a very, very difficult water hazard. If you are making pars on 4 all week, then you are going home a happy camper. It's very, very difficult to birdie on 11, but you just have to make sure you are not, you know, you're avoiding a 6 or a 7 or worse there, for, you know, will knock you out of the tournament. 13 is a par 5. Sorry, 12. Well, so 12 is the famous hole that Jordan Spieth dumped his ball in, what, 5 times in the final round a couple of years ago. Took himself out of contention. He had like a 5. He had like a 5 shot lead, and he dumped them all in the water at 12. And you could just, it was tin cup moment. It was pretty spectacular. It's a par 3. You hit it over the water approaching the green. They, depending on where they put the pin, They can make it, you know, depending on where they put the pin and how the wind's blowing, it can be a very difficult or it can be a scoring hole. But it's important to obviously stay out of the water and kind of keep your wits about you because you can kind of lose your mind there, as we saw with Jordan Spieth. And then 13 is a very long par.
It wasn't like a full on 18, you know, but it was quite the melt.
Yeah, it was.
Everyone remembers that.
Yeah, but the 13th hole is the famous one where Phil Mickelson hit his approach shot out of the pine straw and put it next to the pin to kind of score. I think he scored an eagle on his way to winning his first title or his second or his third green jacket. I can't remember. But it was a very famous shot, and they'll almost certainly show replays of that this week. If he's in contention, they'll show it multiple times, I'm sure. But the 13 is a par 5. You're expected to finish. You're expected to hit, I don't know, I would think you would walk in expecting to hit at least two birdies, if not three, and potentially an eagle if you're playing particularly well. It's a hole that favors left-handers, and this is kind of an interesting point because just this hole and a few other holes that are particularly long are, you know, they generally favor the lefties, which is why Mickelson's had success here. It's why Bubba Watson's won here twice. Bubba Watson's won here twice. How crazy is that? And 13 is a great example.
That list of
multiples. 15 is a fun hole.
He's on here 15. Twice recently.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. So yeah, 15 is a fun hole because if you can hit a bomb drive down the middle, then your second shot you're going over water and you're trying to place it on the green, which will set up either a long eagle putt or potentially an eagle chip and things like that. And you know the eagles are in play on the 15th hole, which makes that one fun to watch. 16 is the short par 3 where we saw Tiger Woods chip out of the sand and in the hole to, I think that was his last major. I think that was his last major win, his last Augusta win in 2005 was when he did that. It's a fun one. Yeah. So those are kind of the memorable holes and the parts of the course where the tournament is won and lost, in my opinion. The other note I have here is that if you expect to win, you better get a hot start. If you are not within about 6 shots of the leader on day one, if you are not in or around the top 10, the chances of you catching up down the stretch and pulling off a miraculous comeback are slim to none. I think as you go back through the years, something like, I don't know, the last 15 winners, maybe with one exception, were inside the top 10 after day one. So you can look at the leaderboard after day one and have a pretty good idea of who's in contention, which is pretty cool because that means you don't have to really put that many bets in pre-tournament if you're willing to take a little bit of a bite out of your odds and try to, you know, just back a horse, you know, on the days 2, 3, and 4, or even wait until, you know, the weekend. There's still the tournament will shape up and you'll have a much better idea of who's truly in contention. That said, I got a lot of plays, outright plays, top 20 plays, make the cut parlays, don't make the cut plays. I got
deep on these top 10s and all.
I know. I got about 10 units at stake already here. So this should be fun. Let's go. You have any other kind of notes or factoids that you wanted to bring up about the tournament itself or memories that you have?
Yeah, I did finally find that my little traditions thing. I was just reading up on just random stuff, not helping me at all with handicapping whatsoever. But the vase or whatever I was referencing, the crystals. If you get a hole in one or a double eagle, you get a bowl. You get like souvenirs. It's like Chuck E. Cheese, but with lead crystal. And if you win the par 3 tournament, you get a crystal. What is it? An eagle, you get 2 crystal goblets. They just have all this crystal on hand. The low round of the day, you get a vase. I love that. And I think as far as most memorable moments, and there's people who didn't love like the Willett win because, and that was kind of a comeback. He was 5 shots down starting that back 9.
Yeah, that's true.
I looked at.
Well, that was a comeback.
Bringing the guy from the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bringing the previous champion in when they do the jacket. So that was probably maybe the most awkward one, I think. Was the Danny Willett one, because then Spieth had to be there after he had lost the tournament to him. I enjoyed that. Else. That was kind of just like, this is kind of cringy. I'm going to watch this. This is fun.
Last year, we had a playoff.
I do believe, Spieth led the entire tournament, and then Willett took it. Yeah, 4 out of the last 10 years, too, we've had a playoff.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking for a prop and not finding it. I think maybe that'll be tomorrow. I think I'll find one of those. But
I'm looking at playoff. Yes, at +290, and I'm definitely going to tickle that one. That one's a fun one. Hole in one is not very well. They're making you pay some juice to back hole in one. Yes, but there's a lot of fun props out there, man. Let's talk about the winner though first. Let's kind of go through the top tier guys here, and I'll give you my opinion on some of these guys who I think, you know, have legit shots and where I'm, you know, staying away from and why. I've backed 3 of the guys in the top tier. I'll say top tier is 30-1 or shorter. I've backed 3 of these guys, one unit a pop to win outright. And I'll bring that up as we go through, but we'll start at the top. Your favorite for the Masters, as of this recording, is Jordan Spieth, +900. Former title winner here. As you mentioned, he was on the cusp of his back-to-back titles when he dumped it in the water at 12 8 times and then had to put the green jacket on the guy that beat him by coming back. Spieth was your the Open champion last year. He's also won a U.S. Open. He has all of the pedigree of being deserving of the favorite heading into this. He has had a relatively unimpressive 2018 up until last weekend, where he played particularly well at the Houston Open. Houston Open is a fairly reasonable predictor of playing well at the Masters. In particular, he had been putting particularly poorly on the tour this year until Houston, where he putted quite well. Which may give him the confidence he needs to be a contender. He's 9-1. I'm out. I'm not back in Spieth. I have no interest in this. Are you interested in Spieth at all?
Not at that price.
No.
There's plenty of other guys that are 10-15-1 that I can get behind besides him.
Yeah, I mean, just from his current form of putting, I don't think he's going to be scoring as well as he needs to be to be contending. Go ahead.
I mean, I'll wait till you get to him. I'll wait till you get to him. I have a fun story about last week's betting, but does that go right into Rory then?
We're both out on Spieth. Rory McIlroy is at he's 11-1. Again, you know, reasonable odds.
Again, like we say all the time, these vary. Shop it around. There's people that have Spieth 10-1 if you want it.
For sure. Without a doubt. We are going off of Five Dimes lines, and we are not affiliated with Five Dimes, but they do have a lot of good golf props up, and they are a fine place to play golf, in my opinion. Rory McIlroy is the second favorite there at about 11-1. Again, that seems fair. I'm not rushing to back Rory here. I think I need to see he had one like white hot streak in 2018 to win, what was it, Bay Hill. He had like an incredible back nine on Sunday at Bay Hill to take that title. Short of that, there's been too much kind of change in his game, change in his equipment, change in his body type, I guess, and how he's preparing for tournaments that I'm willing to jump in and get involved with him winning, winning the first major of the year this year. I will never forget. I watched a lot of Rory McIlroy in 2011. He was the featured group on Thursday. He played lights out on Thursday. It was amazing to watch. It was basically his coming out party of I'm going to be a force on tour. He played great on Friday. He played great on Saturday. He had the clear lead heading into the back nine on Sunday when he hit it into like a house off of 10 off the tee box. He was like nine holes away from a title. He was clear.
Which, to be fair, I've done that too.
I've done that too. I've hit it into a house. Yeah, absolutely.
I've hit houses. These things happen.
Happens to the best of us.
I do have some stats.
It was hysterical.
That could get me back in glory, and they're not stats.
Okay. Seeing that, he'll win a Masters someday, sure. But he's got to. I'm not gonna have bet him when he does. Because it's too much. Too much is in his head at this course. He has too many rounds where just something goes wrong, and then it all spirals, and then he's out of contention. So I'm not betting. I know he'll make the cut here. He may contend. You know, he may even be among the leaders on Sunday. I'm not betting the guy. What makes you interested in Rory here?
I'm just such a completionist. It would be his career slam. I think there's some motivation. There's motivation there, isn't there?
That's a good point.
He's only got 14 tour wins, and he's got the other three already taken care of. So getting that really has to put a fire in him. And if we think back to the 2018 Australian Open, his ex got a title this year. She finally got off the schneid. Kind of got to show her up. Wozniacki won the Aussie. So there's that. Yeah,
they were engaged. All of a sudden
they weren't engaged. She's in the news as a top player. I don't think that has any bearing on anything. But I did bring it up when she won. Like I said, like maybe Rory will win the Masters now. And I do think I could back him in I gotta find him here. Maybe like a three ball matchup. I'm trying to find.
I think you got to look out. You know when we got to look out for Rory? We got to back him. We got to back Rory the first. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Top 10 pays minus 120.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah, top 10 like minus, he's good. Minus 120. I could get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. He can bomb. You know, he can. He's somewhat erratic off the tee box, but you don't really get penalized too badly for that here, so that's fine. If he's hitting his greens in regulation, he is going to be a force. Top 10 at about even odds is pretty fair price. We got to remind. We'll have to circle back.
Are you looking at that at all as far as Spieth?
No.
Spieth is the favorite. But Spieth is the favorite. But yeah, he's third favorite on top 10. No, I don't want to bet him. I'm just saying, they think it's not by much. It's by, 5-10 increments here, 5-10 increments. But it's funny that Spieth is a favorite, but he's third favorite for top 10. Like, a little more worried about him melting, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, they think if Spieth is playing well, if he's getting contention, maybe he's clutch and he wins it all. And if he's not, he melts and he's not even in the top 10. Interesting. That's fair. Rory's top 10 look is pretty cool. You gotta remind me, and we gotta circle back when we do one of our later pods. Caro Woz is getting married this summer, right? David Lee and Woz are getting married. We gotta back Rory to win the slam after their wedding. Right, that makes that feels.
I'm just kind of short. Yeah, I think that is the angle. I think we talked it out and we figured out where it's going to be.
Yes, if she gets married like July 4th, like right before the Open, Rory's winning the Open. Okay, all right. I think we got that.
Yeah,
figured
I'm pulling up TMZ now.
Okay, let's keep moving down the list here. We got a lot of favorites to talk about here. I got a lot of news and notes and interesting stuff here. Justin Thomas is the third favorite. This makes he's a great player. He was your PGA champion last year. He was outstanding at that course in that tournament. Get out of here with top three with this guy. He does not play well here. He has not shown improvement year over year here. This is a ludicrous price for Justin Thomas here. This is probably going to be played back in my head as he's putting on his green jacket or something crazy like that, but this is crazy. If he was in like the 15 to 20 to 1 range, I would say okay, that seems reasonable. But he just, his performance at this course and his knowledge and understanding of how to play this course is not there yet. It's, you know, I have no interest in anything to do with Justin Thomas this week. I'm angry at Justin Thomas from last year. He blew up an enormous make the cut parlay that I had. I was like, you know what? So many people make the cut at the Masters. The rule is like top 50 and ties or 10 within
top
the leader.
50.
It's so many. And it's a tiny field. It's so easy to make the cut. Thomas freaking blew it last year. He blew up like a 20-to-1 parlay I had on make the cut. And so I'm going to hold that against him. Maybe he performs more admirably this year and makes the cut. But get out of here with threatening to win this tournament, in my opinion. You're
Tom,
a JT Tom guy, Corey's right?
On a best finish. I like him, but I agree with you here. It doesn't, for some reason, he doesn't do well here. What is his best finish? Looking at his Wikipedia right now? That's cheating.
I'd say like 40th, maybe.
No, he tied for 22nd.
Tied for 20th? Okay,
tied for 22nd, so not great.
Not great. I mean, for a guy who is a world-class golfer, absolutely. I mean, what's his current rank on tour right now? Is he like top three? He's got to be close. He's an extremely good player.
He is. Oofy. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not seeing that on the page I'm on. Let's just call him. Let's call him fourth. That sounds right.
Maybe he did make the cut last year. Maybe I'm thinking of the previous year where he blew up my parlay. Anyway.
He did make the cut. Yeah, he did make the cut.
What about the previous season? Did he make the cut
Leads
then?
Us to... Probably.
Probably. Okay, well, whatever.
You make a lot of goofy parlay bets. Sometimes with your age, sometimes you make some... Oh. Which, I'm going to take over Dustin. You can say what you want about Dustin Johnson, but I had a cute little... He fell down the stairs, right? This is a schmuck that fell down the stairs. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, he came in last year as the favorite at 5 or 6 to 1. And he fell down the stairs.
Yeah, not only did I tickle that in like top 10, but I put a little bit on him to win 2, 3, and 4 majors in the year. So, like, just small bets, fun ones there. But it was just funny. Like, I place those bets, and then he falls down a staircase.
Yeah.
So, him and I have a complicated history. Like, it literally was right after I place these bets. He falls down a flight of stairs. It just kind of – obviously, you're betting on him to win 4 majors is silly to begin with. But it's no fun when it doesn't even make it to the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
So that was brutal. 11 to 1. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I have a couple. But to be fair, that's what I wonder about this price. And I think it has to do more with the field and, you know, the form of some of these guys. But he was a huge favorite last year.
Huge.
He can play well, but he's 11 to 1. Is he, like, way shittier this year?
If I remember right, last year it was basically a three-player leaderboard. Dustin Johnson was about +550, Spieth was about +600, and Rory was about +650. So they were all pretty close, but Johnson was the favorite. And he fell down the stairs. He hurt his back. I like Johnson this year. I like him a lot. I like that he's under the radar. I like that he's focused laser focused on this particular tournament. I like that he has the kind of the 1 year removed from having it, you know, having a green jacket, not in hand, obviously you got to play the tournament, but, you know, having been the favorite heading into last year and having that happen to you, I think is a great motivational angle. I think we've seen from him, a level of play that is good enough to contend while also not having, you know, fired all of his bullets and really pushed himself to win some of these smaller tournaments because he's had this particular moment in this particular week in his mind. He's been kind of managing his schedule well. He's been managing his rest well. This is a great week for just Dustin Johnson to show up and show out in this tournament. And I love him at 11 to 1. And that is my first bet. Of the three that I'm taking to win outright, Dustin Johnson at +1125. Are you going to stay away from Johnson, or are you feeling it?
I might. I might look. I'm going to see if they're going to let me parlay top 10 or top 20s or maybe make the cut. I love him. I wish he was a little more expensive. I wish the price was a little higher. Just being, you know, he's only won the U.S. Open as far as slams. I'm talking tennis again. Majors, but
majors.
He's been top five in every major. He's had a top five finish. He's a stud. He can win this. It's not a bad price. I might hit it. I don't know.
He's great.
Well, I'll probably have way too many of these.
I know. I had to limit myself to three. But Johnson's one of them. I just what happened last year was so. I mean, when it happened, as it happened, I would literally made a mental note, back this guy next year. He's going to come in, you know, laser focused to win this title because he knows he can do it, and he knows, you know, he's. I'm talking you into it.
All right. So going to last year, we're gonna skip over to Tiger. We already talked about Eldrick.
Yeah.
To last year, I'm gonna have to go look. I don't believe it was pre-tourney, because it wasn't a great price. But I had a Justin Rose ticket. And I probably took it live like before the fourth round, because he was my guy. He was gonna win it. And then I absolutely bought out with Sergio because I wanted Sergio to win more. I didn't want to have to cheer against Sergio for money. I bought out with Sergio live at like a minus number just to cover my money, just so I could cheer for Sergio. I wanted nothing more than for him to finish up and win it. And it felt good that I bought out of it, because it'd have been bittersweet to have my guy win and then lose the money I had on Rose.
Oh yeah.
So that is I have a Rose ticket. I think he gets redemption. He's good.
We agree.
He's done well. He's got second here twice. He's been top five at other majors. He's won the U.S. Open. He's got some tour wins. I don't see any problems.
He's ridiculous. He is so consistent.
15-1.
He's so consistent. Justin Rose is so consistent. He enters these tournaments, and if he's within a sniff of the top 10, he gets his nose in there. I agree with you. This feels a little redemption-y. At least he's going to be
steady.
Yeah, he's steady. Couple of notes I had on Rose. Heading into last year, I did not back him pre-tournament because I was concerned about his putting. He was having a rough go of it on the putting green, but he putted the lights out at the Masters. And that actually happens sometimes where... You know, if you're struggling, it can be kind of like an equalizer. As much as it is like rewards good putters, it can kind of bring everyone to a certain level, because, you know, even the good putters are coming up a little short here and there. But he putted extremely well last year. It kind of illustrated at least that he has a good understanding of the putting surface and of the course and of the greens and how to approach, you know, where you want your approach shots when holes are at certain locations. And how you putt when you're at those locations. So I think that's a great sign for Rose. He's putted a lot better in 2018 than he did in 2017, based on what the stats and numbers that I've seen around, which I think does give him a great, great shot at contending for a title here. And I'm with you. I got a Rose ticket too. I'm looking at plus 1360 on Justin Rose, and that's the second of the three bets that I have down on to win outright at the Masters. So let's go Justin Rose. Tiger Woods, I could see a situation where he's in contention and I'm buying out of all of these bets so I could cheer for Tiger Woods on Sunday. Right? I mean, like, there's just like you were saying with Sergio last year, like, I'm not a fanboy for Tiger Woods, but if he's even close, I'm probably going to not want to cheer against him, because the energy in at the course will be absolutely electric. You will get static electricity shock touching your television from the electricity coming through from the broadcast. And I want nothing to do with being in any way, shape, or form disappointed if Tiger is making clutch putts on 13 and 15 and 16 on Sunday. So I'm prepared to buy out of this, but the current number, it's crazy. It's just ridiculous. It should be double this, if not more. I'm out on Jason Day. I don't like his current form. I think, I think this is, by name recognition only. He's getting this kind of recognition price-wise. I haven't liked the way he's played at at Augusta the last couple of years. There's something going on in his head about this course for whatever reason. After he played really well here in his first couple goes, and then he's kind of struggled of late. Maybe look out for Justin Day later on in the calendar year, but I'm not interested right now. Bubba Watson, plus 1675. Actually, Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson, the two lefties, plus 1675.
They've won here. They're left-handed.
Cards on the table. I don't like Bubba Watson as a person, so I don't usually bet on him. I like Phil fine as a person, although I think Phil cheated his fucking ass off with steroids and God knows what else through the early and mid 2000s when he was ripped out of his Barclays shirt at like age 40 or whatever. I don't particularly love either of these guys.
That's how most of the pros do it.
Oh yeah,
well, I just bet on guys I don't like. Yeah, no, I can see what you're saying with Bubba, but I mean, former winners, Bubba with the big stick, Phil with the total package, and he's just a cool dude, I think.
Yeah, I don't really want Bubba to win outright, but you have to acknowledge that Bubba is playing out of his mind well right now. He just won the match play. In past years, the couple indicators that have kind of given a sign that he was kind of, peaking correctly for the Masters were his play at the match play and his play at Riviera. I think he won Riviera, or he was top two or three, and he won the match play. So Bubba is rightfully a hot pick out there to win. Thinking about him winning three Masters is just making my head swoon. I probably am going to look for a matchup opportunity or something. See if he's like, because he's got about the same odds as like Jason Day, right?
The bet for you.
Do you have Watson over Day or something?
Do
like
I have
that?
The bet for you?
Bubba over
Watson,
who?
4-1, top past champion.
Ooh. Oh wow!
Like third, fourth, and being right behind like Rose, DJ. You know, it could go like, you get Rose, let's say like Rose, DJ, and Fowler together on the last grouping, and then Bubba gets third or fourth. He's third favorite.
That's interesting.
On five dimes. Spieth is the favorite. It goes Spieth, Woods, Watson, just like regular. And then Mickelson is right there with him too. But I can see Mickelson or Bubba. They're both 4-1-ish at top past champion. That's just
interesting.
As I do like the search for the last
sweep,
name
as you sweep through.
I just happened upon that. Yeah.
That's not the bet for me. And you'll find out why in a second. There's another past champion that I really, really have a strong feeling about this week.
You've seen this. Oh, fucking Sergio. Jesus. That'd be a really good surprise.
All right, we'll get there in 2 seconds. Well, we might as well go there now. Scratch off Rom for me. I don't like his play at this tournament. Scratch off Casey for me. I don't like how his constitution affords him in clutch moments. If he's in contention on Sunday, I'm concerned about his intestinal fortitude. Scratch off Ricky Fowler. Yeah, scratch off Ricky Fowler for me. Ricky Fowler, I like. I'll probably back him and get involved sometime this year at some point for him to win a slam major, but that's not going to be the Masters, which leads us to plus 27, 45, almost 30-1 for the defending champion, Sergio Garcia. I'm into this man. I like Sergio this week. I like so much about what's going on with him down there, the stories I'm reading about his reception. The people at the course love the shit out of this guy. The fans are going to be glowing for him if he's, you know, if he's one of, you know, he's now part of the club. Last year, the fans wanted it because they'd never seen him win a slam before. Sorry, a major. Keep going to tennis talk. Last year, they wanted him to win his first major. This year, he's in the club. He has won a major here. He named his daughter after the damn course. If that's not karma, I don't know karma. He's got a brand new daughter. He's playing out of his mind. If we've seen back-to-back champions here in the past, it doesn't happen often. I think the fact that it doesn't happen very often has made people write him off. And the fact that he kind of had a little bit of a victory lap throughout the rest of the tour season last year, which probably make people think like they need to see him compete for, you know, a major again before they're willing to back him, which I think is putting value on this number. I cannot believe Sergio is 30-1 after what we saw last year. He understands this course well. He's got a special relationship with this place now that I am all about trying to make some money off of, and that's the third of my outright picks. I got DJ, I got Rose, but my favorite by far, Sergio Garcia. Win your second major, win your second green jacket. Do you know what the rules are about who puts the jacket on if you win back to back? We're gonna have to look into that. I don't know what the rules are.
I think probably the tournament director.
Tournament director
probably just stepping at that point.
The
guy that's there, like, doing it. I don't know. You can't put it on yourself.
No, you can't put it on yourself. Maybe they'll make Tiger Woods do it, since Tiger Woods was the last back-to-back winner, right? That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't want to say he's not fiery, but, man, it takes a special kind of guy to win two in a row. Like, I can't think of the third one. Who is the third one? Is it Nicholas or Palmer? Is Nicholas, Tiger, and...
Faldo?
Mick Faldo. Yup, 89 and 90, which the dead ball era. I don't know. I'm just looking at one and around him. Ian Woosman, Sandy Lyle. Boy, we had a run of Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, whatever you're going to call it. Scotland, England, Wales. 4 years in a row. I like when you go back and it says West Germany. But no,
Bernard Langer?
It takes a lot. It takes so much to win. Bernard Langer, like 86 or 85. He won it. He won it again, but only for Germany that time. The whole country in 93. Good for him. He's double winner. He is a double winner. But yeah, it's crazy hard to win it twice. Those are nice odds for a guy who knows the course. I think he's just a smart guy. He's a smart golfer. He showed he can handle the pressure last year. I can see where you're going, but that's tough.
You're gonna pass.
Okay. In that all odds right. range, I have a soft spot, and I explain this. I have a soft spot for Matsuyama.
Yeah, okay. That's not a bad one.
Maybe not my only if I go back further, but he's my most recent outright tournament winner that I had a legitimate pre-tournament ticket for Waste Management last year.
Can you get a good number on him?
He's kind of my guy. I'll probably play. We talked about that a little. Maybe top Asian. You can get plus 120.
Ooh,
that's not nice. A bad price. I don't.
Ooh, that's nice. That's
and then fun. Maybe a little tinkle at top 10, top 20, something along those lines. You know, he won me some money leading up to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, which was
he can score. And so it doesn't, you know, as long as he makes the cut, he could finish in the top 10, in my opinion. Good look, man. Okay. Well, that's about it for like the tier one players. So I guess my three guys that I'm my three horses I'm looking for: DJ, Justin Rose, and Sergio. You got three. You got Matsuyama. You got DJ too. Oh no, you got Rose. You got a third that you particularly like out of these guys? You want to back? Fatty Reed. Oh, okay.
Well, not like the high end ones, but
that's up the long shots.
I'm gonna have some little ticklers. You know, there's some long shots. Yeah, he's
okay. Cool.
45.
Let's talk about the long shots. My favorite way to play the long shots is top 20, personally. Top 10 is hard. Top 5 is really hard. But top 20, you can score some fairly decent prices. Because top 20, you know, the ties really come into play pretty nicely for top 20, in my opinion, because really you're talking about like 24, 25 players probably make top 20, how the ties break out. And I've circled a handful of guys here that I think I love their form, or I like different parts of their game that portend well for playing well here at the Masters. And I'll go down. We haven't talked about this or prepped about this, yeah, so I'll just go down the list. I played five of these guys, and I would like, two of them. If as long as I can hit two out of these five, then I'm feeling pretty. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm making some money because of the way these odds break out. Footloose and fancy free. The first guy I like to make the top 20 of the long shots is Daniel Berger. He's sitting there at plus 300. Berger had a great debut here in 2017. He's got a knack for scrambling, which is often rewarded here, as well as greens and regulation. So Berger's on my radar as top 220, as top 20 at plus 300. Another Spaniard, Rafael Cabrera Bayo, RCB.
Ooh, I see a lot of people fading him.
I don't know why. He played particularly well at a tournament that is a great indicator for the for Augusta. He played well at Dubai, and I'm not sure why there's so much value on him. I mean, if he's hurt, and I don't know it because I don't follow golf closely enough, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. But I like the parts of his game and how they match up with this particular course, and I like how he played in Dubai. So I've got him in my top 20 at plus 300. I like Russell Henley. He's a Georgia native. He's improved his finish here year over year. And I think this is the kind of the year he breaks through and finishes in contention and, you know, top five, top 10, but I'm looking for top 20 here because I'm getting that at plus 300. And I'm going to round out my five pack here.
I like that too. Just the local guy angle.
Yeah.
He's from Macon. Like, he went to Georgia. That's a good look.
Yeah,
one of the longer shots I'd circled for that reason.
Nice, 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 nice.
And just that's just a great, great kind of shirt.
Yeah, seriously. The other two,
He did tie for 11th last year.
Yeah, he played great last year. Yeah, I think he breaks into the top 10 this year. I don't have the stones to play top 10 because it's, as I mentioned, it's very tough to hit that number. But top 20 at plus 300 for a guy that finished, that's improved his position every year and is a local and has got it in his blood, like, give me that any day. The last two in my five-pack here, I got Hadwin and Brendan Steele. These were interesting. I mean, I picked these guys for different reasons, basically. Like, I like Steele because he's got length and, you know, it's the course doesn't always play the same way year over year, and it's potential that that the course could reward length more than it usually does this year, based on how I've been hearing about the condition of it. And Brendan Steele is a plus 450. Adam Hadwin, I've got him in my card at plus 350. And you know, I saw a little bit of his game at the Masters last year. I made a note to look for him this year just because I like the way he competed here. So that rounds out my looks for top 20: Berger, RCB, Henley, Hadwin, and Steele. Who else do you like of the long shots? You mentioned Fatty Reed. You got anybody else?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Henley was on my list.
Nice. You like Henley?
I really like Thomas Peters, but I looked at his putting stats and that kind of scared me off things. I don't know if there's a whole lot else I can back. I probably will look at some top 20s there too. Just that is just a nice angle. It's so hard to pick the guy. Like people have won. Will, it was 50-1.
The year he won.
Argentine that won a few years ago. The Argentine that won a few years back?
Yeah, Angel Cabrera.
Cabrera was like swear it was like 120-1. It happens, but what are the odds of picking that? It's just so tough to do. That's a great look, is to find some long shots you like, stick them in top 20 if you're more confident or you don't love the odds, stick them in top 10. Cantlay is only 225, Patrick Cantlay. And then I've just been seeing this guy's name on the leaderboards a little, and maybe it's like when you're in this town and somebody has a really weird car and you always see it and you feel like you always see that car, but you probably see other cars just as often, but you don't remember it. They're not memorable, but Kiradeksh Afabonrat.
But the barn rat.
The barn rat. I've seen him on some leaderboards, and it's sticking out at me. This is more of a gut play, but he's 3-1 to make top 20. I'm gonna sprinkle a little on there too.
Nice.
A memorable name. And it won't be hard to pick him out on the board either.
Good stuff, man.
But not as top Asian. That's Matt's.
I played Berger and Henley to win outright as well as top 20, just in case something magical happens. They're both at 90-1. That just put some small stakes there. Let's talk about a couple other bets that I've got in, and obviously I have about 10 units out already. I'm going to put another 5 probably in play on Thursday's matches. Try to scratch some cash out on day one. I don't have any good looks really for
first round leader.
That's so tough to pull. I don't think I've ever won one of those, so I just stopped betting them. we mentioned about did we talk about the course conditions and the weather at all? I don't think we did. It's probably going to rain tomorrow night on Wednesday.
No, it's tomorrow. You're probably going to have 90% chance of a bad storm.
Yeah, so you're talking about probably relatively soft scoring. You're be scoring conditions on Thursday, and then it'll probably get faster and more difficult on Friday. More potential for kind of a drizzly, wet day all day on Saturday. That doesn't necessarily portend well for scoring, but you should still see some guys who have leads kind of be able to hold those leads or increase those leads. And then Sunday looks like a pretty nice day, but it's going to be challenging. So I think all of this does kind of lend itself for there will be opportunities for players to score and to make the unders. The single round over under sits at what, 65.5?
Yes.
That's a fun look. That's a fun look. You can get under 65.5. Oh no, under 65.5 is -205. Never mind. You want plus money odds? You got to go 64.5 of plus 210. Ooh. Under 65 is plus 104, so if it lands on 65, you got to push. Probably going to take under 65 for lowest round score. And then the lowest 72-hole score. Boy, they really make this tough on you. Ooh.
So on Bovada, oof.
Yeah, that, you can get do not lowest bet these are five round
64 or under. For the lowest tournament round pays plus 185. And I actually, we pimped up five dimes a little, but there are some pretty good ones on, so basically under 64.5 is plus 185. Just scrolling down and going way off tangent here. Tiger to record an eagle is plus 125. There's a few fives that he's done well at, and he put in a couple eagles today in a practice round.
That's a good look, man.
I don't think that's a terrible price.
Yeah, that's fun.
No, that's not a bad price at all. And then we talked about Xander a little. Shuffley.
Yeah.
You say his name for me.
Xander Shuffle.
Shuffley. Plus 330, top debutante. Basically, going against Finau, Fratelli, and then a bunch of, I mean, just a ton of other people. Kisri Cook. There's, I mean, there's a ton of debutantes.
Is Cam Smith a debutante?
Plus 330 on her.
I can't remember.
Cam Smith is not listed, so I'm going to say he's played it before.
Okay. I have him circled.
No, but I like that. I like that. I like the Tiger Eagle. Like, they have top Swede, and there's just two. There's all these,
it's a tough call, man. What are the odds?
It is a coin toss too.
It is.
It's like plus 115. It's right there. Ooh. Oh, that's pretty funny.
That's really funny. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Bovada has a ton of good props too. If you want to pop on there,
well, I've seen
a lot of fun stuff. Winning score 275 or better, plus 225.
Let's talk about making the cut. For a second. We talked about Tiger Woods a bunch. His odds to make the cut, are they still minus 455, or have they gone up even? Has it been taking money? I think it's been taking money.
Probably. I'm on Bovada. Tiger Woods to make the cut is minus 900 right now. No. So to miss the cut, plus 500 on
God. They really want you to bet that. Oh my Lord. That is crazy. 900 you said at Bovada? Let's do a quick some quick minus math on that. 900. Oh my God. That is incredible. Quick math on that. We'll take 100 over 900 plus 1. That means his European odds would be 1.111. You take the reciprocal of that. That implies a 90% chance that he makes the cut. That is ridiculous. I guess it's worth noting he has made the cut every year going back to 1996, which was the second year he played it. He finished 17th in 2015. He finished 40th in 2012. So he's had some close calls in some of the last couple years he's played at. 90% seems awfully generous, but again, I'm not in the business of betting against Tiger this weekend, so I'm gonna have to pass. You know who I am gonna bet against, which makes
we're
me
not in the Tiger fading business.
No, I'm not in the Tiger fading business.
Who's that?
I faded Freddie Couples this week. I have five dimes. I bet Freddie Couples won't make the cut at plus 100. The reason I bet this is because I've heard and I've seen some video. I'm not sure Freddie finishes round one. He is experiencing extreme back pain right now. He's a fan favorite. He's had some great runs here in the past couple years, which is probably what's driving this price. I just don't see him putting together two rounds of 18 holes without having some sort of medical issue or some sort of fade based on his current physical condition. So I have bet him not to make the cut at plus 100. Pretty fair. I put a pretty fair stakes on this too, because I think this is a pretty bad line. I really don't think he makes it through the weekend. He'll live, but I don't think he makes it.
Senior.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that at all. As far as top senior and a senior that I have circled to make the cut is Larry Mize. I bet him to make the cut at plus 635. He impressed last year at the Masters, and I think he's going to want to relive some of that glory, make the cut, play on the weekend, and you're getting that at plus 635, which I dig. So I'm in on Mize, I'm out on Couples, and I'm going to put some massive parlays together of make the cut.
He's 12-1 for tops.
I don't know that he's going to make top senior. I think what happened, what I remember watching last year is he got shot out of a cannon and he played great in rounds 1 and 2. No. I think VJ is probably a better look at top senior. Because, I mean, Mize is going to struggle on Saturday, Sunday if he makes the cut. Mize only wins top senior if he's the only senior that makes the cut, in my opinion, which is possible. isn't Bernard Langer in that category too? Langer's probably a good look as well as VJ as top senior.
Yeah, Langer's about the same odds. Langer's, yeah.
He's playing well enough to be top 30, top 40.
Langer's right there with VJ at about plus 225, and then Mize, Othabel, Mira.
Ah. Okay.
Ian Woosman, 33-1.
Right off Woosman, right off O'Meara, right off Olfable. Those guys are.
And then I don't love.
Right off Sandy Lyle. Those guys aren't coming close to making the cut.
No. I don't love playing the juice, drinking all that juice, but man, I'm probably going to play that there'll be a hole in one. Not only do I cheer for it, but.
It's a great one, man.
I'm looking at the last few years. Like, it's minus 140. It's minus 150, the one, but minus 140 implies a 58% chance of there being a hole in one.
Nice.
And it's been six in the last 7 years. And it has picked up. It's been picked up. There was good chunks where there weren't, but since 2012, there's been seven. There were three 1 year, all at 16. I think somebody sinks one at 16. I don't ever play juice. I'll probably just flat bet it. Like, I'm not going to play 140 to win 100, but we're going to play that. There is going to be a bet on hole in one. There's going to be a bet for me on to have a playoff. I found better odds actually on that one. I think I get about 3-1 on to be a playoff. So we will put in some fun props. And someone brought up a good one in a chat. Yeah, there's never been someone to shoot all four rounds in the 60s.
Wow.
And they're only giving you 8-1. They're only giving you 8-1 for that to happen. And that's what he said. I've not fact checked this. This is hearsay, but James said so in the chat, so that means something. But they're only giving you 8-1 for that to happen. And it's never, but there's no not to happen, so I can't bet against it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think there'll be some more. We'll have to put some tweets up with everything because we've both made a lot of plays already.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I'm gonna put my card out on about full this card, time
full,
tomorrow.
Full cards to come out soon.
Full card. Yep. I usually play about five plays a day on three ball rounds one and two. So just a quick heads up. Three ball is you pick the player out of the three-man grouping who you think will have the lowest score on that day. And that's dead heat rule. So if two guys have the same lowest score, then they basically just split the pot. And you get odds on each guy to win their three-man group. Three ball is a fun way to play. Racing. It's like betting horse. Yeah, it's a great. And if you're watching the featured groupings, oh, it's so fun. I'm probably gonna be betting Tiger in the featured group number one on Thursday, and I'm probably gonna watch every shot of that round and try to hit Tiger on the three ball on day one. The three ball is a fun way to play. Once you get into Saturday, Sunday, and they're playing two man pairs. It's fun to bet which of the two in the pair has a better score that day. I'm going to do that Saturday and Sunday. We're going to make some money this tournament, man. It's super fun. We may not hit an outright winner, but we are going to make some money, and it is going to be an outstanding tournament. I about fell out of my chair when I saw your tweet today with the poll. Do you want to update me on the results? Because I was shocked.
Yeah, Flowering Peach. if you're listening to this, you probably like golf, and I didn't confirm this either, but the Masters, it's held at Augusta National. It was built where there was a nursery before. They're saying that's part of the reason, but then also it just there's a lot of nice native plants in Georgia. It's a beautiful area, apparently. Especially, geez, seeing some of the shots of that place, I'd like to get there someday. All the holes are named after a native plant, and some of them kind of sound filthy. So I have a poll. I think I'll pin it too. If anyone, I'll retweet it throughout the tournament and pin it. But yeah, they're Some of them sound real close to lady parts, in my opinion. Flowering, flowering peach, Carolina cherry, little Chinese fir, Redbud. So Redbud's getting killed, by the way. I really
can't believe Redbud's sounded, getting killed. Like people a, must not like be. Thing, so. Yeah, people must not know their porn terms.
Flowering peach is murdering it. People are starting to get a little get behind Chinese fur. Yeah, vote. We'll see. I got that running, so it goes through almost the whole tournament.
Oh, that's good stuff,
we'll
man.
We'll see which is the nastiest, filthiest hole.
That's right, man. That's why they don't call you Andy. Mostly safe for work for nothing, right? The experience is going to be great. Check out our Telegram. We're putting
Shout out to Dwayne for.
Oh yeah, Dwayne. Yes. Yeah, and you know we're going to retweet some of the guys that handicap golf.
We'll promote a list of some people that are playing a lot of golf. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Some Dwayne, guys that they're putting James, out plays every week on golf. Well,
there's a bunch of them.
Some of these.
Yeah,
guys
back nine player. There's some guys who do this regularly who are great that are worth checking out their stuff. We'll put together a list of people to follow on our Telegram, along with all the news and info that we are collecting there for handicapping purposes. Andy, have a wonderful Masters weekend. This tournament, unlike most others,
it's like no other.
A tournament that's different from most of the other tournaments. Have a wonderful Masters, and yes, enjoy your weekend. Spring has sprung. The Masters is here. It's better than ever. Tiger is back. You have all of the best golfers in the world collecting in Augusta, Georgia, to put on a show for us this weekend in the beautiful, beautiful course at Augusta. And with that, we'll wrap it up. Enjoy the deep dive. Yeah, hope you enjoyed the deep dive, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy Jim Nance this Sunday.
Yep.
Enjoy everything about this. It should be fun.
Yeah. All right, man. Talk to you next week.
We will see you.